I want to look at, we're going to bounce around to a lot of different verses today. I'm going to start in the book of 1 Samuel. This is 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 21. And this is talking about Paul. I'm sorry, this is talking about Saul. This is Saul as he's just been anointed by Samuel to be the king, the first king of Israel. When Israel said to God, we want a man. We want a man to be our king. And so Saul was selected, and Samuel was anointed Saul. So as all this is taking place, as that Saul's being anointed to be set aside, in verse number 21 it says, and Saul answered. Let me go back to verse number 19. I am the seer, Samuel replied. Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me. And in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkey you lost 3 days ago, don't worry about that. That he's been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and to your father's family? Now, let me just give you a little background. What's going on here is Saul's donkey had been lost, and so he and another servant with him went out. They went searching for this donkey because there was value for it. They went searching for the donkey, couldn't find it. They came upon where Samuel's at, and Saul and his servant are talking about it. They say, hey, you know, there's a man of God. His name is Samuel. He lives there. Let's go see the man of God. Maybe the man of God can help us. And let's prepare a gift. So they went. They saw Samuel. And this is what Samuel is saying to him. I am a seer. And basically Samuel is telling Saul, I'm anointing you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to be the one that makes you. Because God has chosen you to be the next king. To be the king of Israel. So he's saying to Saul, you know, that donkey you were looking for, he's already been found. You were sent here because God sent you here for a purpose. To see me. Now you go, we're going to eat, and I'm going to anoint you as the king of Israel. So that's what's taking place. And then Saul answered in verse number 21. So Samuel is telling Saul, you are the chosen one. You are the one that God has chosen to be the king over Israel. Saul's response, Saul answered, but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me? Here's Saul. He just came looking for his lost donkey. He came looking for his father's lost donkey. That's his only intention. Now, Saul was, you know, we think of Saul, and we always remember Saul because of the stories of Saul with David, and Saul trying to kill David, and Saul, the jealousy that Saul had of David. And we think of Saul in that, and that's what Saul became. But what Saul was here at this moment, and you see it as he is, even beyond being anointed, when he is made the king, you see great humbleness, great humility in Saul. But you also see some of the character flaws. But right now, what you're seeing is that humility, that humbleness of Saul. And Saul says to Samuel, who he's identified as, you are a man of God. That's why I came. I came so you would help me find my donkey. You're a man of God. Samuel's saying, I am a seer. I've listened to God. You've been chosen to be the king. Saul didn't come looking for that, and in his humility, in his humbleness, Saul says, but am I not a Benjamite? If you go back, the Benjamites were the smallest tribe because the Benjamites were almost wiped out. So it's the smallest tribe that there is. And Saul says, listen, I'm coming from the smallest tribe. And in the tribe of the Benjamites, my clan is the smallest clan. My clan is the least. Not even the smallest, it's the least of all the clans of the tribe. Why would you say such a thing to me? So Saul's identifying that, look, I'm the least, I'm coming from the smallest clan of the smallest tribe. And you're telling me that God has chosen me to be the king? How can that be? So there's a humbleness. And this is what I want to point out to you. This is what I want us to see and to gather today. Most of us look at ourselves, and we all have pride. You know, we all oftentimes battle with that ongoing, lifelong battle of thinking more of ourselves than we ought. So we all have pride, elements of pride that are in us. Even in these words of humility with Saul that we just read, there still is some pride there, which you'll see later as you read through the rest of this story. Even before that that pride takes over, you can see that nature and that characteristic that's there. There's humility, but there's also still some pride there. And it's that pride that's the weakness that he gives himself over to. So all of us deal with that element of pride, but I think every one of us, while we all deal with elements of pride or elements of thinking more of ourselves than we ought, and even if you don't think you're prideful, you know, one of the great things, one of the great weaknesses of our culture and of our country, and too oftentimes of the body of Christ in this culture and in this country, is we just think about ourselves. In other words, it may not be that we're thinking more of ourselves, that we think we're greater than we are, but we think about ourselves where we should be thinking of others. We worry about what we want, what we need. We take care of ourselves first. It's the philosophy that says, if I'm driving around a parking lot looking for a place to park in the store, I'm looking for and hunting for that closest space that I can get, because I want to walk. And then we get in that little battle sometimes when you see a car come the other direction, and you eye each other, and there's one available space, and you're both eyeballing each other and looking to see, can I get there before they can? I think I was here first. I deserve that spot because I was here first, and we make sure that we get that spot, that closest spot to the store we're going to, which is a silly and it really is a selfish thing. It's thinking too much of yourself. It's thinking, this is what I want. This favors me, and so I will take it. The heart of Christ says, even in the small things, the attitude should be, how can I serve others? How can I make others' lives easier? What can I do to be a servant to others? How can I demonstrate that love of Christ to others? And not looking for that closest spot. And obviously that's just an example, but throughout our lives, every day, we're confronted with decisions that we have to make. And too many times in our culture, we're trained to think, well, you take care of yourself because no one else will. You take care of yourself. We're taught to think, this is what I want, I will get what I want. How many times are you driving in your car and, you know, sometimes when you're like on a major highway and they have the signs that say, merge down to one lane in 1 mile. And so everybody starts to go over to that one lane, and then there's always those individuals who stay in the lane that's closing, and everyone's being respectful and getting over into one lane, but there's always those individuals that go in the lane that's closing, and they blow past all the people who are waiting patiently, being courteous. They blow past all of them, and they force their way up to the front until someone lets them in. Okay, that's a mindset that says, everyone else has to wait, but I don't have to. I am going to get ahead of everyone else. That's the mindset that we too often have. In all the decisions that we make throughout the day, too often we're thinking about ourselves. That's one of the weaknesses. So all of us battle with that, and that's a form of pride. All of us battle with that thinking too much about ourselves and for ourselves, thinking about the things that we need, that we desire, thinking of selfish things, as opposed to thinking selfless thoughts on how can I serve, how can I place someone ahead of myself? How can I better someone else? What can I sacrifice to make someone else's life better and thus represent Jesus Christ? That's what we should be. So we see Saul here, and Saul is saying, listen, I'm from the smallest clan that there is, the weakest clan that there is. Too often in our lives, we think about self or we should be thinking about others. Now, oftentimes, since we have those thoughts, we sometimes also think, and I do realize that's a battle for most of us. That is a battle for most of us. But there's another part of most of us, because I think most of us lack self-confidence. I actually think sometimes when we're trying to get a spot or better ourselves at the disadvantage of someone else, take advantage of a situation to better ourselves to the disadvantage of someone else, I think a lot of times that comes from a heart of insecurity. A heart of not really knowing or believing in yourself. If you know who you are in Jesus Christ, you don't have those insecurities, and you can make those sacrifices that are required to better someone else instead of bettering yourself. Because as a culture, I think most of us do operate in insecurities. We might want to take care of ourselves because of those insecurities, but we don't really believe, and this is the heart of it, most of us don't really believe that we're worthy. I think most of the times that people fly down the highway when they're supposed to merge and blow past everyone else, I think even though they're doing something for themselves, they don't think that they're worthy. I think if they knew who they were in Jesus Christ, if they knew their worthiness in Jesus Christ, they wouldn't have those insecurities that would say, I have to show that I'm better than anyone else. I have to demonstrate this to myself. Most people don't think. Most people, at the heart, Think that they're not worthy, they're not good enough. Think that they're the least. They put themselves in front because they think they're the least. They push themselves to the front because they're afraid they might be the least. There's a real mindset and an attitude. It's actually a weakness where people don't know who they are. And that comes because, as a culture, we don't know who we are in Jesus Christ. Too much of the culture doesn't know Jesus Christ at all. If they don't know Jesus Christ, they can't know who they are. But there's too many in the body of Christ, too many that serve, too many that have given themselves to the name of Jesus Christ, who don't know who they are in Jesus Christ, and they're insecure. And those insecurities are not healthy, because those insecurities make us want to advance ourselves, to prove to ourselves that we are worthy. Our worthiness comes from being in Jesus Christ. So here's Saul, and Saul says to Samuel, "You're telling me that I'm going to be the king? I'm coming from the smallest clan, out of the smallest tribe, out of all of Israel. How can this be?" Saul didn't think himself able to be what Samuel said he could be, and would be, and that God wanted him to be. Saul didn't think he could be what Samuel said God intended for him to be. Too many in the body of Christ don't think that they can be what God has called them to be. Saul is saying, "You're making a mistake. I'm from the smallest clan of the smallest tribe. This cannot be." Too many times we think, "I can't be what God has asked me or intended for me to be. That can't be me." We look at ourselves and we say we can't do it. Well, it's because we're looking at ourselves in our own abilities. In my own abilities, I can do nothing. In my own abilities, I will fail again and again and again. I will disappoint. But in Jesus Christ, I can be what He's called and asked me to be. There's nothing wrong with small beginnings. God uses the least. If you think to yourself, "I just don't think that I can." If you don't seek God for what He desires for your life because you don't think you could live up to it, you're missing out on the greatness that God has, the great plans that He has for your life. You're missing out on those opportunities because He does have great plans for you. He's got great plans to use you, to advance you and use you so that you can advance the kingdom of God to His glory. These are His plans. And oftentimes we don't move forward in those plans because we don't think we're strong enough, we're capable enough, that God could ever use us. God uses the least all the time. We see this theme throughout the Word of God. Let's look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse number 27. This is a psalm talking about just God arising and overcoming the enemies of His people. In Psalm 68, verse number 27, it says, and this is again talking about, this kind of is confirming what Samuel was talking about. It says, "There is a little tribe there." He's talking, let's go back actually to maybe like verse 25. Well, he's talking about, verse number 24, "Your procession has come into view, O God, the procession of God and the King into the sanctuary. In front are the singers, after them the line of musicians. With them are the maidens playing tambourines. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel." So this is talking about the advancing of the kingdom of God, the advancing of the people of God. And the singers and the praisers are going before. And so all of these who are going before, you know, God sends His strength before. He sends the praisers before because there's praise and strength. And then who comes after all those praisers? In verse number 27, "There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There, the great things of Judah's princes. There, the princes of Zebulun and of Naphtali." But I think it's so neat that God points out He's sending out all those praisers. He's sending out those with strength, those that are the strength, those that are the praisers and the worshipers. They're going out first to bring forth this victory. You wouldn't think about sending the praisers out first. We see this thematically throughout the Old Testament. God does send out the praisers first. We would send out the warriors first. God's got a different way. God understands strength. Oftentimes, the least is where the strength comes from. It would not be logical to send out the praisers because they're totally unarmed. And yet they have one of the greatest tools. They have the greatest and most powerful. It's the praising of God. He sends out that which would appear to be the least. And then what comes after the praisers? It's the little tribe of Benjamin who comes next. God uses the least. to do great things. That which would appear to be the least in the natural eye, in natural man's eye, is what God uses time and time again. I will tell you that some of the greatest men of God, if you look at them, and you look at their skill set, their abilities, you wouldn't look at them and say that, well, this is someone that God can use mightily. You would think God's going to use this person who is the most brilliant person, who's the most gifted speaker, who's the most charming personality, you know, whatever. We would put a certain standard. God uses an entirely different standard. And that's why Saul is saying to Samuel, you understand, I'm coming from the least of the least. I had the very honor yesterday to speak to a Bible study at a college campus in Salina, at the Wright State University branch in Lake. And I'll tell you what, one of the greatest things is I looked in all those eyes of all those college students, and I saw a hunger for Jesus Christ, and I saw a desire to see the Word. But I also saw a reflection of what I was thinking and feeling when I was in college. And maybe you feel this way, you know, even post-college. I remember in college, I did not think that I had skills or capabilities that God could use to bring His glory. I thought that I was the least. God uses the least if we will make ourselves available to Him. If we'll be willing to sacrifice, God can use, and He does, the small things. If you think yourself too small, if you think yourself too weak, if you think yourself unable to be used, I'm telling you, this is who God will use you. If you'll make the decision to say, I'm going to serve you. I want my life to be, I'll make whatever sacrifices. Though I might be small, I'm going to make whatever sacrifices. Though I might be limited in my talents, though I may not have experience, though I may not be the smartest, I may not be the best speaker, I may not be the best looking, I may not have the greatest charm, though I may lack all those things, I may be the least in the world's eyes, I give myself to you, Jesus. You use me. I will sacrifice so that others will come to know you and see your love. God will use you in amazing ways. Whoever you are today, if you're listening and you feel like God can't use you or hasn't used you, I'm telling you, He will use you in great, marvelous, amazing ways.